Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Folding Pocket.
It's time now for the Chipping Forecast, issued by Folding Pocket on behalf of Andrew Cotter, Eddie Pepperell, and special guest Ian Carter.
Well, hello and welcome to our first Masters proper Chipolata, i.e. after the first round. Actually, not after the first round, after the first day. And what a day it has been. I'm Andrew Cotter and with Ian Carter, who's here as BBC radio correspondent, but also as a stout member of the Chipping Forecast team. He is here and he's just finished commentating and we are going to round up the first day at Augusta. Again, what a day it's been. Ian, I think first of all, we should say that the weather, it was not as bad as forecast. It was very, very interesting. We got lots of play, lots of sunshine, lots of wind. Windiest conditions I can remember for a long time at the Masters, but actually a great day's golf.
A great day's golf, a brilliant setup of the golf course, and a real bonus that we got as much golf as we did. And looking at the resumption that is going to happen on Friday, those still out on the golf course are going to be there at 10 to 8 in the morning, and they'll get done. The second round is starting at 8 o'clock in the morning, and that means that we'll be back on schedule by Saturday. It's going to be windy again on Friday as well, but this was a real, real test. We saw some fantastic golf. The early starters had the best of the weather. Some great stories in there. Fantastic leaderboard. Bryson DeChambeau at the top. He brings a story. Scottie Scheffler, one shot behind after his 66. So effortless in making that 66. For me, the story of the day was Danny Willett. First things first, big thanks to you. We'll hear from him. We put a little clip of the interview on our coverage on Five Sports Extra as well.
Did you? We did.
And Mark Chapman didn't credit the Chipping Forecast. So words will be had over dinner tonight.
Well, that's because, do you know why that is?
But you got a that name is because credit, so that was okay.
Well, no, that's because he and Gabby, the Gabster, Gabby Logan, they've got a rival podcast. Mm. And this week, because so many people are listening to the Chipping Forecast, because ears are on golf, interest is on golf, and it's pushing up there, it's threatening to knock them off their
perch,
or certainly to the top five.
Yeah,
well, it's getting up there, and he just doesn't like that. He took me aside last night at the Outback Steakhouse. Mm. That's how glamorous the life is. And he said, you guys are nothing to me. And he said, I'm not going to give you any credit for anything. So that's the kind of person he is.
Listen, I was on that podcast last week plugging my book, which, by the way, my book launched today, Golf Wars.
Oh, did it?
No one has mentioned it on the air or anything like that. So I'm just going to get it in there now. We're still, I don't know if Ollie can just interject here. Are we getting a discount code for this book?
Yeah, we do have a discount code for the book.
Okay.
Let me find it.
Are we allowed to release it and how people can do it?
Yeah, let me find the link. Just a sec.
Is this bit, is Ollie going to make his first appearance in the Chipping Forecast there? Are we going to hear Ollie
Absolutely.
Stepping in?
So.
And saying,
I really hope right, so, because that sounded really cool. So we'll get that by the end
and
of the
also,
pod.
And also, Ian, I would say as well, just a quick word for Ollie, because what time is it in the UK? It's about 7 in the morning next day.
It's quarter past one in the morning in the UK. What a trooper.
What a trooper. No, but anyway, just quickly on TCF stuff, because we're doing serious roundup of the Masters, but just in a sort of TCF vein, I'd say congratulations. It is a big day, a book launch day. So thank I know you. I take the mickey out of you for plugging it constantly, but that's what you have to do in the book industry. You know, you do.
Yeah, I've done
you
one
do,
tweet
and you have
today,
to apologize it. For it a little yeah. bit as well. You have to do it in a kind of very humble way because it is a bit embarrassing. Yeah. I went through it and you do. But as you said in your tweet earlier today, in your X earlier today, you said, look, a lot of other people put a lot of work into it.
Exactly.
So you have to do
and
it for
did.
Them. So there's a great quote on the front cover from me. I think I say factually accurate and with strong paper pages and good things like that. So.
Yeah, and it's got a hard cover to it. It's called Golf Wars, if anyone's interested. So there we are.
Right. So as you mentioned, we'll hear from Danny Willett in just a minute. I do want to talk about, I know Bryson DeChambeau's at the top with his 65, lowest ever round at Augusta. So we will talk about DeChambeau first. Let's do that. I mean, bettering his opening round 66 in 2019. But that year he sank with a second round 75. Now DeChambeau, that's kind of typical of him at Augusta. He's never really put two good rounds together here. Only three times before today he shot in the 60s, 66 in the first round in 2019, 67 in the second round in 2021. And a 69 in the third round in 2020. But he has always followed those rounds with poor ones, a 75, a 75, a 73. So big day for him tomorrow. The key man though is Scheffler. If he was the favorite before the first day, he's even shorter odds now. Because to come in with that tag, with that, not burden, but he's treated it as a privilege. And the form that he's in, very, very impressive. His lowest round at the Masters. His lowest round at the Masters. His first ever bogey-free round at the Masters. And that's everything I watched of him today. You know, McIlroy had some good stuff there, Ian, but Scheffler was kind of the boss of that group. He was.
Totally.
And every time McIlroy hit a good shot, Scheffler was almost in close. At 16, for example. You know, two great shots in there from both of them. McIlroy, poor putt, misses his birdie chance. Scheffler, in she goes. He just was in control all day long.
Could have been lower. There were chances there that you would think, oh, he could take that, and he didn't take them. But bogey-free, stress-free. And I thought Rory's quotes afterwards were really telling. He said, Scotty does such a good job. It doesn't look like it's a six under par round. Then at the end of the day, it's six under par. He's just so efficient with everything. If you look at Scotty compared with the rest of the field, the amount of bogey-free rounds he plays and he shoots is phenomenal. And that's the secret to winning major championships and winning big-time golf tournaments. It's more limiting the mistakes rather than making a ton of birdies. And, you know, he made his share of birdies. He got six of them and he didn't drop any shots. And there he is, 66. And the odds must have shortened on him winning, even though he's not at the very top of the leaderboard right now.
I mean, McIlroy, two bogeys in his first four holes. So there it is, no bogey avoidance. I was looking at that stat. They were talking about that on the television before Scheffler went out, said one of the key things about him is bogey avoidance. For the last 2 years, he's been top of the stats in bogey avoidance. And he's got better and better as each season has passed in terms of bogey avoidance. And if you're not making mistakes, you don't have to be a brilliant putter. And he's a solid putter at the moment, but he's so good tee to green. He's not dropping the shots. So he's going to pick up one, two, three, four, five, six shots as he has today. So DeChambeau might be out in front, but Scheffler, I think, I almost find it, I want to keep the interest in this Masters, and there's still so much interest in this Masters, so many different stories. But it's hard to see Scheffler, the way he's playing at the moment, being beaten.
I said that in the commentary. I mean, I hate to sort of call it really early and say it's going to be a procession, but I can't help feeling that there is a significantly high chance of that being the case because he is just in such control of his golf ball. And that's what you have to be. And to have done that, to have had that level of control, he played later than DeChambeau. Mm. And so he was doing it in those. It wasn't just that the winds were strong, they were fluctuating, they were swirling, they made life so hard to judge. They made it so hard that Jason Day couldn't hit a shot. Well, without waiting for half an hour.
That's because his trousers were the largest trousers I've seen since MC Hammer 89 vintage 1990, whatever. He was almost taking off. But Jason Day, now we were I know there are mitigating circumstances, but we were talking about slow play penalty given to Anna Davis last week in the Anwa. Jason Day should have been, it was ridiculous.
Yeah. And he wasn't alone. Let's make no bones about it. We saw lots of people backing off shots and stuff like that. But it almost felt to me watching Day, and maybe we saw more of him because he was playing with Tiger Woods, but I just thought he was just taking the mickey, really, at times. Ultimately, you know, there are protocols and time limits to play shots, and it doesn't matter how hard the wind's blowing and how you've got to hit your shot, otherwise you're cheating. I've seen that point made on X today.
Well, and you know what it's like when you're out playing in bad weather, and as you get up to hit your tee shot, the wind starts howling. That's just bad luck. You can't you can't just say, well, I'm just going to wait until the wind dies down sometime around 7 p.m. So on McIlroy, a 71. Now, in 15 previous Masters, he's only broken 70 twice in the first round. It still is, you know, his best opening round since 2018, but frustrating as well because he was so close, because he had that ringside seat to Scheffler, just missed opportunities as well. And a key stat, and again, I give credit for this to Justin Ray, and he is the king of stats on Twitter on X now, so check him out. But 26 of the last 30 Masters winners have been within five shots of the lead after the first round. So odds are against McIlroy. In fact, I think it's 90.5% of all men's major winners have been within five after the first round. So it's going to have to be something against the grain for McIlroy to do it. But yeah, it just looked frustrating for him, even though he was playing okay.
Yeah, I wonder, we were speculating in our commentary as to how he would feel at the end of that round, because I think it would have been a twofold thing. He missed some chances. He made some silly mistakes, yes. But he did remain patient, and that was his primary objective. So he will feel that something was accomplished there, albeit that he did squander those opportunities. It was a horrible putt on the 16th. He was only 4 or 5 feet away, and he didn't even hit the hole. And I thought that was concerning. The bogey on the second was so untidy, so scruffy. That, to me, spoke of someone who was very nervous. He had a good chance from 10 feet on the first. But on the other hand, he remained patient. He kept going, and he's not played himself out of it yet.
So, Ian, we were talking beforehand about how few English players there were, and we said there were five, and there might be four by the start because we didn't know whether Danny Willett was going to play. He said he was a bit sort of 80% sure he was going to play, but there was uncertainty over it. And so out he goes, shoots 68. And again, just a reminder, he hasn't played since Wentworth last September after a shoulder operation. So the first competitive round, goes out and does that. Well, we'll get your thoughts in a minute, Ian, but let's hear from Danny Willett. I spoke to him after his round.
Danny, I'm not sure what your expectations were coming into this round. A 68 in windy conditions, was that up there?
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously surpassed him. Making contact on the first was right up there. You know, I've not been under pressure for 6 months or so. The last time was Wentworth. So yeah, I had no idea how I was going to be. I was nervous, anxious about kind of what, you know, what was going to happen, what you're going to shoot. But, you know, I've put in a lot of hard work over the last few months now with the shoulder and the strength and getting the reps in on the golf course. And just lovely to get out there and shoot a score that's not only, not more than respectable. It's amazing, really, in the conditions that there are.
As you mentioned, the Wentworth, your last tournament. And you were told after the operation, was it 12 to 18 months maybe recovery?
Yeah, 12 to 18. And after the first few weeks, I was kind of, that was the plan, because it, you know, it felt like the shoulder was going to drop off. I'd never had surgery before like that, you know, so I didn't know. But yeah, some pretty intense rehab and a great team of people around me that have worked hard. And yeah, just nice. This was always a freebie. You know, I never planned on playing this week up until about 2 months ago, where I thought, you know what, I'm strong enough. I just need to get some golf reps in. And yeah, lo and behold, it's worked out all right so far.
Well, maybe it's different now because, as you said, this is a freebie. There was a freedom of pressure because you didn't know what to expect. But now I suppose there is expectation for you going into the second round. How you deal with that?
Not really. You know, I could very happily stand up there tomorrow and shoot 80 and still, as long as it doesn't hurt and everything's all right, it's, you know, it's one of those where I've got another 7-8 weeks before I'm actually properly going to start, you know, the comeback of playing full time. So no, it's just nice being out there, walking the fairways, seeing all the patrons. You know, just nice to be back in and around everyone. I haven't seen everyone for half a year. So, you know, just being here is amazing. So yeah, regardless of what happens tomorrow, you know, you can take this round and really use it, you know, over the next couple of months and use it to kind of propel forward with everything that I'm going to do.
And the frustration when you're rehabbing on the sidelines, you feel the golf's kind of passing you by, but so much happening in the game.
I mean, there's a lot happening. It's actually probably quite a nice time to have been sat on the sidelines and seeing kind of how a few things pan out. So, yeah, hopefully by the time I come back properly, the golfing world is more steady, I guess, or there's some resolution within all the things, and yeah, I can come back into a, I don't know, more stable environment, maybe we might say.
Well, so you've done a lot of chats. I know you've got lunch to get after a great round, but just one final thing. When you come back to the Masters, obviously winning it, 12th a couple of years ago, you know you can perform here. Do you sometimes feel, though, that you didn't get the respect that your win deserved, and are you ever trying to prove something here to people?
I think it's a strange one. You know, I've obviously had good runs in the Open, never had great runs in the US or the PGA, but I've always been pretty good around this golf course and always been pretty good in open venues. But, you know, it's one of them, you know. I think if we'd have polished off one of the order of merits, maybe it might have been a different story. But I think when people come here, they realise how big this tournament is, and winning round here was obviously life-changing, but it's, you know, it's an amazing achievement that I've done, and, you know, I know that, and yeah, it's one of those where I think I could, you know, I could retire and still be a pretty happy man.
Okay, in with 68. The wind's getting up, so go and enjoy that lunch.
Will do. Thanks, man.
You're listening to the Chipping Forecast, and like all forecasts, it's hit and miss whether they get it right or wrong.
So impressive from Danny Willett. Again, there's slightly better conditions, but it was still breezy out there when he was playing.
Oh, incredible. I think this is just an incredible performance. And for me, the round of the day, when you factor everything in there, and you heard what he had to say there, you know, and you put the point to him, you know, he was looking at a very, very long time out of the game after that shoulder surgery. I remember talking to him at the end of last year and saying, well, when are we going to see you? He said, I might be able to chip it round Augusta. That was exactly how he put it to me when we were discussing that. And, you know, it was touch and go. He didn't even... We have a sweepstake, which you bore witness to in the Outback, but didn't take part in.
Well, there weren't enough. I was excluded because I'm not part of the BBC team. I was left out. I felt like a maverick.
I could have fought for you, but you assisted with that draw. Danny Willett's name didn't go into the draw because we still were touch and go as to whether or not he'd tee it up today. And he did. And he just showed us and reminded us, and I think people forget this, what a fantastic golfer he is intrinsically. Look at the titles that he's won, not just the Masters, but the BMW PGA, the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship. When he wins big, and that speaks to someone who's got the technique and the mentality to play at the very highest level.
Maybe you should give me Danny Willett then, as someone, because I was sitting there at the end of the table. I was sort of off the table. You put me on a separate little table because I wasn't part of the team, and I was given a small salad to pick at.
No, that's not true.
I would say
No.
Okay, fair enough. I was actually at the team. In fact, I was the life and soul of the party. That's not true either. As you say, Danny Willett, and I touched upon it in the interview there, that it's certainly over here, certainly over in America, he's seen as a fluke winner of the Masters. And someone, you know,
he was number 13 in the world at the time.
I mean, because Jordan Spieth did what he did and put it in the water, you know, a couple of times. He's just this fluky winner. And they see him as a bit of a ridiculous Masters winner. He is so good when he's on, Danny Willett. It didn't surprise me. I mean, he was just outside the top 10. I think he was 12th a couple of years ago. So, and he's had some big wins, as you say. So I don't expect him to go on and challenge for the Masters this year. He says he's looking longer term. But again, it was just a reminder of his class.
He called it a free hit, didn't he? In the interview with you. Isn't it amazing when your expectations are low, how much of an asset that can be at times? Because the only reason his expectations are low would be because he's not played. Mm. It's not as though he's playing badly. And when expectations are low because you're playing badly, that's a loss of confidence. But if your expectations are low for other reasons, and then you go out, you're freed up and you know, he reaped the benefits. How you respond to that on day two is one of the big questions for Friday, isn't it?
Yeah, well, a lot of golf still to be played by some other English interest going well. Tommy Fleetwood, I think he's in the final group. Is he 2 under after 10? I mean, he shot some very good rounds here at Augusta before. 7 previous starts. He's had a couple of 66s. And in those years, 3 times he's actually been inside the top 10 going into the final round. Now, as you mentioned in our big preview, a reminder that Ian Finnis, a familiar giant figure alongside, is not with him at the moment with a health issue. So get well, Finno. Fleetwood's got a sort of local guy on the bag, looking very good.
Gray Moore, former caddy master at Augusta, so no one knows their way better around the course than Gray Moore.
Yeah, so who knows what Tommy Fleetwood could do, but he's certainly playing well. Tyrrell Hatton, another late starter, not quite as late as Tommy, but going well at a place where he's never really played well. One top 20 finish in seven previous starts back in 2018. He's only broken 70 once before. That was the final round that year. He did find the water off the tee. The 12th hole with the wind today was just magical. I mean, nasty for the players, but magical. But then he birdied 13 to get back to 3 under. He's played 14 now, so he's got four holes to complete, which I was impressed with him. And, he's keeping a lid on it just about. Matt Fitzpatrick was going well. He was 4 under after 13. Then he leaked a lot of oil coming in. I don't know if that's an expression. Is it an expression?
I think that's fair enough.
I'm going to trademark it if nobody else has it. Oh, he leaked a lot of oil. Finished 1 under. But, you know,
it's
there's
not
some good...
original.
No, it's not. A lot of chicken left in the bone, etc., things like that.
Yes.
So some good interest for the British or the English players here.
Yeah, I enjoyed listening to everything that John Murray was saying from... He's standing right behind me right now, so that's why I'm saying it. But he was out there on the 12th hole. I think he had the prime position of the day. As you say, it was just a great, classy golfing scenario out there. So much drama. But the funny thing is, which do you think, ranking-wise, was the easier hole on the day? The 12th with all that drama that was witnessed there, or the 16th, which had... you know, ostensibly a gathering pin position.
Well, I sense by your question. Is John Murray wearing a high-vis jacket?
He is wearing a high-vis jacket, yeah.
See, he looks like he's about to put out some... He's going to put some cones out in the M6.
Couldn't see me. Yeah, he's going... Andrew says you look like you're about to put some cones out on the M6.
That's not fair.
It feels like overnight work.
Oh, you're the guy who closes things down and I get sent through Lancaster as a diversion when I'm driving at 3 a.m. Anyway, that was the great John Murray making his debut appearance in the Chipping Forecast. One of the great commentators of the business. But he does look as if he's wearing a tabard of some description. Anyway, I suspect it was the 16th then.
It was the 16th,
remarkable.
Yeah. So 14 birdies on the... 16th, and on the 12th there were actually 15 birdies on there, so it actually statistically the 12th hardest hole was the 12th and the 16th was the 9th hardest hole.
Now, have I missed something, by the way? Matt Fitzpatrick, every time I saw him he was putting with a pin out. Has he started doing that and I just haven't been paying attention? Because he was always putting with a pin in. Every time I saw him there were short putts, but I thought he was permanently with a pin in.
He was certainly almost exclusively pin in at the Players' Championship, which was the last time I really saw him in detail. But there were a couple of times, especially on the shorter putts, where the flag came out.
Windy today, though, and if the flag
windy
was
today,
moving...
Windy today, and with that oscillating around, it's a moving target.
Yeah, so. And he was leaking a lot of oil, wasn't he, coming in? So
good phrase, that.
Good phrase. Tiger Woods, 1 under after 13. Really solid play from Tiger Woods, but... you know, again, he just looks to be hurpling a bit all the time. And so he's now got 23 holes to play on Friday. So that's a big deal for him too. We'll see how he is after. It's a big, big day for him tomorrow in all regards, because he's trying to... I mean, he's got a higher goal than making the cut. But of course, if he does make the cut, he takes that all-time record of consecutive cuts made.
Yes, that would take him to 24 consecutive cuts. I was really impressed with him today. Just that golfing know-how in those conditions on this golf course was sensational, really. And given how little he's played, he's just utterly remarkable, isn't he?
Yeah.
1 under par in those conditions. He had the absolute worst of the conditions. Birdied the first hole, classic Tiger, and then dropped a shot on the fourth. That's his only bogey to date. Gets it done on the 13th, gives himself a resumption at 10 to 8 in the morning on the 14th, which probably would be the most comfortable
hole to
restart on that back nine. But how does his body hold up? What are we? We're talking now at 8:30 at night. They finished just over half an hour ago, and he's got to be back there by 10 to 8 the next morning too. And as we know with Tiger, and he loves telling us about it, you know, actually getting Tiger up and running and in a position to be able to swing a golf club takes a couple of hours as well. So he's going to have precious little sleep tonight. He's got to get himself fueled up, all of that kind of stuff. And then he's got another 18 holes to play with a pretty swift turnaround once he's completed the final four.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be leaking oil. Ram leaked oil on the back nine today, didn't he? Because he was looking good, 34 to the turn, and then just stalled. He was back in 39 for 73. So, that's a long way back already.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to successfully defend this title. He didn't look anything like the golfer that we saw 12 months ago. I thought he was very ragged and, you know, leaking oil. I thought he was going to blow a gasket by the end.
Oh, dear. On the M6, as the cones are put out by John Murray. So, debutants doing with Ludvig Åberg, 2-under after 11. Nikolai Højgaard,
fantastic.
Though. I mean, Højgaard mastered Amen Corner. Birdied 11, 12 and 13. Beautiful second into the 15th, nearly eagled it. 5-under after 15, so just outstanding.
Yeah, fantastic performance from him. Looked, I thought, very, very comfortable indeed. Had that problem on the 14th, that drop shot there, but bounced back to birdie the 15th. Got stuck behind the tree, didn't he, on 14. But he could contend over the weekend. I mean, so much is going to depend on whether or not someone can get into the locker room and break all of Scotty Scheffler's clubs.
Yeah, which, I mean, we don't encourage that kind of behaviour, so and they wouldn't allow it at the Masters, certainly. Most clubs,
you know the point I'm making, though.
I do, Ian, chuckling away.
Patrick Reed, 2-under with 4 holes.
Yeah, well, anyway, so well
Mathieu
done.
Mathieu Pavon,
2-under after 13. But let's concentrate on our picks, pre-tournament picks, because I said Hideki Matsuyama, and I had good reason to. Lots of other people were saying Matsuyama in fantastic form. Shoots 4 over par. Astonishing. Yeah. Eddie was Shane Lowry, was he?
Yes, he was.
I think
yeah.
Eddie was Shane Lowry. Yeah. One under. Shane Lowry's 1-under, I think, after 16, maybe, is he? Ian's got the leaderboard there.
Lowry. Just looking for the Irish flag.
And as you look for that, I will say that Ian...
Level par,
all right. Well, I thought he was 1-under. Yeah. I think you were Koepka, weren't you? Were you Koepka?
Yeah.
And he's level after 11, maybe, something like that?
Level after 11, yeah. That, I mean, those late guys really had the worst of the weather, didn't they?
So cruel.
There's my excuse right there.
Yeah, well, we are, because this is just a Chipolata, and I think we've gone on a little bit, and we've all got to go and get some new oil injected. Ian's had a very long day. We've all had very long days, but this is just so you can get something ahead of tomorrow's early start, so you can listen to it on the commute. I don't like that word. It's very American. On the commute to work or whatever you want to do in the morning, just get you set up ahead of the second round and people completing their first round. And we'll be back tomorrow night, going into Saturday morning for you with Eddie Pepperell. Do you hold out much hope that Eddie is going to stay awake to do that with a glass of red in his hand?
I would say there is a chance. I think there's a good chance.
I think it's an 80% chance.
Yeah, I think he'll feel he might come on and come up with a discount code for my book.
Oh my goodness me. Are we,
Ollie's got it.
There is a discount code, is there?
Apparently, yeah.
All you have to do is wait 2 weeks and it'll be in the bin at the back of WH Smith, down to 99p. Right, okay. Anyway, Ian, thank you very much. It's been a long day for you. And again, the coverage continues tomorrow on 5 Live. Is it Sports Extra tomorrow as well? 5 Live Extra?
Yes, yeah. We'll be live from 8 o'clock with all the commentary. Everyone says, oh, why can't you come on earlier? We can't come on earlier because we can't get the full feed. We've got people, yeah. It's all part of the deal. We'll be there. But I'll be here from first thing in the morning updating listeners to 5 Live. There is also brilliant live text commentary on the BBC Sport website. You will see video on there of all the great shots and all the action that takes place as well. So it's a brilliant service.
Okay.
There.
I don't know if I'll be doing any more chipping forecast interviews. It was quite humiliating doing chipping forecast. I've got to get TCF put on because it just... I mean, Danny Willett was another one. He said, where's the camera? I said, there is no camera, Danny. I'm here for TCF. And he was aware of what it was. So, and it added a little bit to our little round one roundup. So we'll be with you again tomorrow. And it's bye-bye from Ian.
Bye-bye. Where's the code?
Don't know.
Ollie's got the code.
Put the code. It's in the chat because I've got the chat blocked off here. Hang on a second. Let's see if it's in the. Is there a chat? Ollie's got the code. Well, Ollie will tell us that we'll just put it in the pod description.
We'll have it for tomorrow.
Have it for tomorrow. Let's do a full thing.
Yeah.
Eddie can read it out. That can be his thing. He can slur it out with his his glass of red wine and get it wrong. Right,
put it in the chat. Get it all done.
Okay, that's the Chipping Forecast at the Masters. We'll be back after the second day. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Oh, I've got it, Ian. Let's just do it.
Just come on now.
Might as well do it now. Hang on a second.
As soon as you said bye-bye, you flashed it up. For us.
I thought I was going to jump in, that's all.
Oh, no, he is jumping in. Oh, yeah. It's Ollie's making another appearance. Here we go. No, stop, Ollie. I hope you haven't stopped recording. Chipping Forecast 25 at bloomsbury.com. Chipping Forecast 25 gets you 5p off Golf Wars. I don't know. It gets you a discount, so enjoy that. All right. Bye-bye. We'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you.
And that completes this edition of the Chipping Forecast, wishing you a safe and pleasant night.
Folding Pocket.